This is Section 18, Tips for International Manufacturers and Exporters Who Would Like to Sell the U.S. Market.
How many different ways are there to get into the U.S. market, and what are the advantages of each?
There are five different ways I can see as to how you can get into this market, so we'll go over each one. First off, one of the easier ones is to supply a U.S. company that's already established in Walmart, Target, and so on. Now, the margin you're going to make doing that is not as high as if you directly sell to Walmart, of course, but the good news is you'll be able to do it a lot easier, and a company who is already established with Walmart has already met all their requirements and has a presence in the U.S. and all of that. Everything is done. All you're having to do is provide a product then that gets added to their product line that's already in place, especially if the product you have can fit in the group of products that some other company is already selling. It could just be an addition to a product line, and getting it in Walmart is going to be as easy as just putting the company's name on the package who will be selling it. So that's way number one, and that's simplest. Secondly, way number two is to supply a U.S. company who is not established in Walmart or Target yet. You'll be able to negotiate a better deal here because you'll be able to set up something like a joint venture, really. No guarantee it's going to work, but if you are able as a manufacturer to provide a benefit to the U.S. partner on the manufacturing and on the terms of payment, the U.S. firm becomes the domestic qualified supplier to Walmart. That's going to help you get in there a lot quicker with a lot less difficulties than if you try to set up your own U.S. operation and meet all of Walmart's requirements. Number three is to do exactly that, which is to qualify to be a domestic U.S. supplier by establishing an office and a warehouse here and meeting all of Walmart's requirements for domestic suppliers. That one will be the hardest one. For number four, if you can't meet the domestic U.S. criteria, which wouldn't be a surprise, you can apply to be a direct importer to Walmart at their international office in China from wherever in the world you are. The good news there is their requirements for what they call a direct importer are not as strict as the requirements for a domestic U.S. supplier. So that one is probably your highest profit choice and also going to be probably the easiest one, aside from just supplying a company who's there already. Way number five is really a different thing than just selling a product to Walmart. I think it's probably the best opportunity for a lot of manufacturers. When you look at all of Walmart's requirements, there's a big long list of things you have to do, even if you are a direct importer. So another thing you could do is you can look into a Walmart or a Target store, and you can go through that store and see what every product that's in that store that is something you could make. Where you could either make all or a part of it, and then you can approach the manufacturer whose name is on the package, and now what you're doing is you might be able to supply 20 companies that are already selling to Walmart by manufacturing their product for them. And remember, like I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the school supplies that I sold to Walmart and Target, I outsourced all of that. I didn't manufacture anything. You won't be able to tell from looking at the package if the company manufactures the product or not, but if you get in touch with every company whose product is something you can make who is in Walmart, you can bet a lot of them are going to be interested. Even if they do manufacture, you might be able to function as a way to get additional supply or to reduce their costs.
Can I supply Walmart stores in my own country first?
Certainly. In fact, that is a good way to get started. You can get started on a smaller scale that way, and you can deal locally. You're still going to go through their China office, which is their international office. But Walmart does have a bunch of stores in other countries. I'll go through those briefly. So if you're in any of these countries, you do have local stores. They have 12 stores in Argentina. They have 294 stores in Brazil, 278 stores in Canada, 63 stores in China, and this is one of the areas they'll be growing a lot in. They have 133 in Costa Rica. They have 59 in El Salvador, 85 in Germany, 122 in Guatemala, 37 in Honduras, 391 in Japan, 828 in Mexico, 36 in Nicaragua, 54 in Puerto Rico, 16 in South Korea, and 323 in the UK. That totals 2,731 stores, and they are expanding aggressively internationally, so those numbers will all be going up.
How about buying offices?
Walmart has buying offices in even more countries than they have stores. They have 1,600 employees who they call associates, who source products from 70 different countries, working from 27 offices in 22 different countries outside the U.S. No matter which country you're in, you start by calling that import department I mentioned. Their headquarters in Shenzhen, China, and that phone number is 86-755-822-1880. Before you call, though, two things. First off, go to the international section of walmartstores.com and verify that phone number hasn't changed. And secondly, print off what they call the supplier profile and the supplier questionnaire forms. Just like with the domestic suppliers, you have to have your act together first before you approach them. They have buying offices. I'll go through the list of countries the buying offices are located in. There again, you start with the headquarters in China, but their offices are in Bangladesh, Brazil, Chile, China, Guatemala, Honduras, India, Indonesia, Italy, Mexico, Nicaragua, Pakistan, the Philippines, Singapore, South Korea, Spain, Sri Lanka, Taiwan, Thailand, Turkey, the UK, and the United Arab Emirates.
What are some of the things they ask for on these forms that I might find surprising or unusual?
Well, there are a bunch of things. You might find some of these things they want to know intrusive or that you think should be private. But if you think you're going to be an arm's length supplier to Walmart, where the only issue is you shipping them product and then paying for it, without you sharing the details of your company and its operations, that won't work for Walmart, so you won't do business with them. Here are some of the things they're going to want to know. First off, they want to know what kind of business you are. Are you a manufacturer, a trader, a distributor, or some combination of that? A lot of people who supply Walmart are functioning as a manufacturer, even if they outsource it. But if you outsource something or some category of thing, they're going to want to know that up front. They want to know how many factories you have, and do you own them? Or do you joint venture? Or are you an OEM manufacturer? They will want to know your sales for the last 4 years, both your total sales and your sales to each of your different biggest customers by name. Most companies would say, well, how can they even ask such a thing? Well, they want to know who you're doing business with, how much business you're doing with them, how much your capacity is. They want to know what percent of your capacity you're operating at, and they even want to know that by month. Many businesses are seasonal, so they're going to want you to fill out a monthly percent of capacity that you're operating at and available capacity by month. And they're going to also want to know how many employees you have each month of the year as well, especially for businesses that are seasonal. You may think this is a bit much, but Walmart can buy so much product. One of their big concerns is that you have enough capacity to deal with them, and this is one of the ways they verify that. They don't want to be 80-90% of your manufacturing because that just is a danger signal from their point of view as well as yours. They're going to also want to see all your financial statements. Then probably one of the biggest things is they're going to come and inspect your factory periodically, as often possibly as once every quarter, to make sure you meet their production and ethical standards. If you get a subpar ranking on this inspection, you'll have some time to correct it, but if you don't correct it and get your ranking up, you won't be a supplier to Walmart anymore.
What are the factory inspections actually looking for when they visit the plant?
Well, they'll evaluate you on 8 criteria. One overall one that isn't listed as a separate one is they want to make sure there's no illegal child labor practices going on, that no children are employed below the legal working age in that country, and that can vary from country to country. But the first thing on the list is management involvement, and by that they mean management involvement with their account, and are they going to be dealing with, on an ongoing basis, top management, not just clerks somewhere. Number two, what is your investment in technology? They want to make sure that you're staying ahead of the curve there and keeping up to date with manufacturing methods and distribution methods so that you are able to supply them being at the front of the technology, not lagging. This can be a huge advantage to you because with Walmart having stores all over the world, buying offices all over the world, and with them going in and inspecting factories all over the world with their 1,600 people who do that, they know what's what. Their people doing the inspections and everything will know more about what's happening in your field than you will, just because they're going to be inspecting some of the best manufacturers there are in your category, because only the best ones are going to get to deal with Walmart. Number three is an interesting one. They want to evaluate your willingness to accept recommended changes from them regarding quality, delivery, and cost. It sort of flows out of number two. If they see things that are going on in other manufacturing outlets around the world that would help your operation and improve the quality or reduce the cost, and if you're not willing to accept their recommendations, they consider that a very bad thing if you're not willing to change based on recommendations they make to improve things. It's unusual for a retailer to get so involved in your manufacturing and how you run your company, but they want it the other way, too. We talked earlier about how if you're selling them, they want you to understand retail and merchandising and packaging, so they want you to understand a lot of the details of their operation as well as they understand yours. They talk about partnerships, and not a legal partnership, but in operations and the way you work with them, that you can see that's where it's headed. Number four is we want good communications between sales and production. I know in the factory I had, we weren't all that good at that, and that's a real challenge for any factory, for the people in marketing and sales to communicate effectively with the people in production. So they measure that. Number five is your staff turnover. The higher your turnover, obviously, the more people you have to train, and that's a sign of things are not all well if people are leaving or you're having to fire them a lot. Number six, back to the financial statements, what's your financial status? If you're in trouble financially, in trouble cash flow, and losing money, they want to know that because that's an early warning sign to them that you might not be able to supply them. So that's critical for them. Number seven, they want to check out how you're organized and how customer-oriented your business is. Are you operating your business and your product development and your quality control with the customer in mind, or just to reduce manufacturing costs and not considering the customer? They want to make sure you're customer-oriented. And the last thing relates to that, which is quality assurance or quality control. That ties right back into customer-oriented. How are you doing on quality control? Remember, earlier in this course, we talked about one of the biggest mistakes or biggest no-nos a supplier can do is to have products get returned, because Walmart can lose a customer that way, not just have to refund a single product. So along with empty shelves, poor quality is one of the worst things that can happen. So they want to make sure that you're on top of quality control and that you've organized your company, and it's not just words, you're really operating to make sure the quality is there. And that can be a problem with some international manufacturing operations, so it's a hot button for them. Essentially, what all this comes down to is they want a say in how you run your company. And if you accept their suggestions and guidance, you'll be in a position to do a lot of business with them. So in summary, for this section, Section 18, there are a lot of opportunities for international manufacturers or exporters who want to sell Walmart. You can sell in your own country, or you can use any of the five methods we talked about how to sell the U.S. domestic stores. All in all, as long as you're willing to play by their rules, there's an opportunity for you to get a huge amount of business.
This is the conclusion of our Walmart program.